Good morning. I'll call the meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. The date is April 2nd, 2010, and the time is approximately 8:03 a.m. In attendance today are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Huggins, and myself, Co-Chair Thomas. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Good morning, and thank everyone for being here today. On today's agenda, the committee will be hearing from prospective appointees to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission. With us by teleconference will be, hopefully, Jeffrey Hebert from Fairbanks and Mr. Michael Husa from Bethel, who is, I understand, online. And we're still waiting for Mr. Hebert. But we do have with us Eric Fry from Juneau. And we'll start with Mr. Fry since he has a job and he needs to get back to. So he is, we've been joined by Senator Olson. Good morning. If you'd please put yourself on the record, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us why you believe you're suited or want this particular position. I understand this is your first attempt at it.
So. Yes, my name is Eric Fry. I'm the Information Officer for the Department of Education and Early Development. Commissioner Ledoux asked me to serve on the commission, and I was glad to do so because as a parent, I know how important it is to have ethical teachers. You know, people have a lot of complaints about school if you're a parent and so forth, but you want to at least know for sure that ethics doesn't play a role in how teachers behave. And I think Alaska does very well in this regard. Commissioner Ledoux mentioned the reason he asked me to serve is because my background, I was a newspaper reporter for many years, and now working with the department for 5 years, he felt I was capable of grasping issues, asking good questions, and being fair-minded. As you know, the commission members act as adjudicators. They aren't the investigators. So I felt I had the qualities you need for this, and I valued what the commission is doing. What I particularly like about the ethics rules is they don't merely say that, of course, you shouldn't lie or steal. They also expect teachers to create a good climate in the classroom, to be free of harassment and that sort of thing. So I was very pleased with the ethics laws that Alaska has, and I'd be glad to serve.
Good. Anything else you care to impart to us?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, very good. Any questions from the committee? We just got started. Senator Olson, you were right on time, actually.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I do have a couple questions. I was wondering what your thoughts were on what the commission's primary purpose is and how you plan on getting to that end.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the primary purpose is to hear complaints about teachers' ethics. The commission also can serve a role, if it wishes, of giving recommendations to the state board and to local school boards on teaching practices. But it does, I think, in practice, mainly serve as an adjudicator.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I can continue.
Continue, please.
Have you ever been in a situation where you were either a certified teacher or had a close either family member or associate that was one?
No, sir.
And has anybody ever run into trouble that you've known that meets closely with some kind of ethical problems?
Through the chair, no, sir.
Okay, so you don't have any experience with it?
No, that's true. I have no experience adjudicating issues, Senator.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Other questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Eric, thanks and good to see you. My wife asked me to tell you hello. What circumstances brings a teacher's circumstances before you, if that makes sense? In other words, why would you be dealing with a teacher from school A or B before the commission?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, anyone is entitled to raise a complaint against a teacher. And then the commission staff, which are the professional investigators, determine whether it meets a threshold of not being frivolous and of applying to the laws. It relates to the laws that exist on what is unethical. And then they investigate, and if they can't resolve it earlier than this, which they try to do, then they can hold a hearing. If the teacher chooses not to contest it, then that would be the end of it, and the commission would make a ruling. If the teacher contests it, then, of course, there's a formal hearing with a administrative law judge appointed by the governor. The attorney general's office acts, in a sense, as a prosecutor, and the teacher can have his or her own attorney if they wish. And the kinds of the issues they're concerned with have to do with using your professional position for private gain or using your professional position to impose personal views on the students or making false statements about other teachers, and obviously committing all those various types of malfeasance you call moral turpitude, and, including actions that don't take place in the school, but if you're caught with drugs and that sort of thing, or child pornography, then you can be punished for that.
Certainly. Continue, Senator Hubbard.
Yeah, thank you. I know nothing about the commission, so I'll just ask a couple more questions. So what is the range? You use the term punishment. What are the ranges of punishment?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, they range from written reprimands to suspending a teacher's certificate to revoking the teacher's certificate, so they just can't teach anymore.
Right. So if I might just
Please continue. Let's
take a scenario where I was a teacher and I had, you know, was accused of drug abuse, as an example. Would that come before your board or your commission?
Yes, it would, because even though, through the chair, Senator Huggins, even though a person in that situation might face criminal prosecution from the state also has an interest in the members of the teaching profession not being allowed in the classroom in certain circumstances, regardless of how the state punishes you. In other words, conceivably, a person could commit a crime and spend a couple months in jail in the summer and then come back to teaching, but according to our ethics laws, we might not want that person in the classroom again, even though they've paid their debt to society through the criminal court system.
Right, which brings me to my final question. You know, I've read too many cases where a teacher worked in State A, got dismissed for some of the things we're talking about, and then lo and behold, was working in State B and had the same sort of offense, and it was more than just drug abuse kinds of things. How do we, let's assume that I'm guilty of drugs and sex, I mean, a whole list of things, and we say, you're out of here in Alaska. How do we communicate that to future employers that would be in a public school system where I would go to apply for employment?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, when Alaska gives out its teaching certificates, it checks the background of teachers, goes to every state. A teacher, I think, could slip through the system if they simply lied about having served in some state and we didn't know it, I suppose. I don't know if there's a national clearinghouse. I think there is a national clearinghouse for some of this. And then likewise, other states would be doing the same sort of background check on a teacher.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, and thanks for your willingness to serve.
Other questions, comments?
Actually, I do, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
Sorry, Senator Meyer.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
I'm sorry. You mentioned this earlier. Did you say you do have children in the general school system here?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer. Yes, I had one who graduated and one who's still in school.
Okay.
And
what grade?
One is a sophomore now in high school, and they've both spent all their education in the public schools here in Juneau.
Okay, great. And then, how do you feel the teachers were here in Juneau?
We never felt that a teacher was acting unethically. We sometimes wondered if they couldn't use some other instructional methods or find some other way of helping our kids, but. There was never a point where we thought the ethics of the teacher was a problem. And I think that's the least parents could expect. The reason for the commission, as I see it, is you want to take that off the table so it hardly ever happens, it hardly ever raises its face, and then you deal with the true issues of education. Is the person a good teacher? Is this the right teacher for my kid? Should I transfer him to another class or something? But you don't want to wonder if the teacher is unethical. And I don't think Alaskans generally do. As a newspaper reporter for 15 years, you hear all sorts of things, and I don't know that I've ever heard anyone complain about a teacher in that way. So perhaps the system works, given that with 9,000 teachers, you're going to have a variance in people's personal morals and actions.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Fry, and again, as Senator Huggins said, I thank you for putting your name forward to do this job, because sometimes you wonder why you ever volunteered or went ahead with it. But I was wondering what your thoughts were on charter schools and teachers in particular in charter schools.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, just as a parent and a citizen, I have generally positive views about charter schools, and I certainly think they ought to exist. And I think in Alaska, we've had a much better track record than some of the states of the lower 48. We kind of, in some cases, seem to get fly-by-night operators. Here, we seem to get very dedicated parents and community members. And the issue of quality, I'm not sure, has even risen here in Alaska. My understanding of charter schools is the committees that run the schools do hire the teachers, but I think they do hire union teachers. And those teachers would certainly be covered by the, well, even if they weren't union teachers, simply being hired by a public school, they'd be covered by the commission. I don't think anyone suggested that there's some separate category or type of person who ends up in a charter school.
Well, I...
You know, that they're not getting someone who can't get hired someplace else or anything like that. It's nothing like that in Alaska that I've ever heard of.
Mr. Chairman,
continue, please.
With all due respect, I think that the question I was really asking is that teachers that are drawn to charter schools as opposed to the regular public school system sometimes have a little different bias on certain issues and how they are... And I was just wondering how do you view them differently than a regular public school teacher?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I wasn't aware of that. I could imagine a teacher being drawn to the particular philosophy of a charter school and being there in a purposeful way because they believe in what the charter school is doing. I haven't thought of that as some sort of bias or as something that relates to ethics itself. And I haven't thought of it as relating to quality in any way.
Sure.
If anything, they're probably very dedicated people because just work, again, if I can refer to my days as a reporter covering charter schools, everyone there works very hard. I mean, you're literally cleaning the school yourself, and you don't go through that if you don't believe in it.
Sure.
So I don't believe there's some separate two-quality system here or some problem with the teachers that I've ever heard of.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure of all what all the commission covers. I'm assuming it's all teachers, including private schools. Do you adjudicate on private school teachers as well?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, you know I'm not sure about that. I don't believe so because private school teachers aren't certified by the state, and so we wouldn't have anything to take away from them.
Okay.
We really don't regulate private schools.
Sure. I must say, by looking through your resume, I was pretty impressed. Fordham is a private school, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you graduated summa cum laude. That's quite the accomplishment for
thank you, sir.
A person here in Juneau. So we thank you for putting your name forward.
wait a second.
Not every time you see a place that doesn't have a roadster, you got somebody from New York here that's kind of got wanted to somebody paid you some pretty heavy duty bucks to go there. So
I'm sure.
And then you obviously worked hard.
Mr. Chairman, just one additional.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, and it has to do with Eric's resume. I saw that you work for the Seward Phoenix Log.
Yeah.
I never heard of that, so could you just tell us what
through the Seward... Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that's the name of the local newspaper, and it derives from, there was a, I don't remember when, but there was a sailing ship called the Phoenix. So the pun in the title is that this is the log of a ship.
Mm.
That's where that name comes from.
Interesting. Yeah. Thank you.
Other questions, comments, anything else? If there isn't, we thank you for being here today, and good luck to you, and we'll let you get back to work now.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Yeah. Good luck, Gary.
Mr. We'll move on to Mr. Husa. I believe we have you online, do we? Would you please, obviously you're at the microphone, put yourself on the record and give us a brief description of your thoughts on the position you're seeking and why you think you'd
do it. Okay, I'm Michael Husa. I teach at BRHS in Bethel, Alaska. The reason I wish to continue to serve on the commission, I believe that if we're going to be recognized as professionals, we need to have some oversight in our certification issues. Obviously, those of us who are in the classroom have the best understanding of what it takes and when you cross the line of ethical and unethical behavior. It's never a fun thing to deal with a teacher who has crossed that line, but I do believe that it is very important that we do it.
Is that your statement, Mr. Husa? Are you prepared for questions at this point, or you have something else you want to impart to us, your particular desire, any other issues or anything that you may have encountered that make you specifically qualified for a continuation?
I'm more than happy to answer questions at this point.
Okay. Thank you. I guess I would start with, how many hearings or adjudications have you been involved with during your term on the board or on the commission?
I've not gone to any adjudications where we've actually gone to the judge. I have sat through numerous rulings and read numerous reports. I honestly couldn't tell you how many, because when we meet 3 to 4 times a year. We go through a stack of the ones, and sometimes there's 3 or 4, sometimes there's 6, 8, 10, and we take the recommendation of Pat Truman and look at it to see if she has followed a consistent pattern, if we feel it's fair and equitable to all parties involved, so that students as well as the teacher are protected and their rights have been upheld.
And the name that you mentioned, is that an attorney for the Department of Education or something that kind of heads up the
Pat Truman is the commissioner of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Okay. All right. And could you, without using any names, just give us maybe some examples of some of the situations you've been involved with?
We've investigated, ruled with a number of cases where there has been sexual discrimination by an administrator against staff. We have dealt with teachers and administrators who have crossed the line in their relationships with students, sometimes of sexual nature, sometimes not, just crossing the line of friendship. We've dealt with issues with teachers who have mishandled the state tests in regards to the SBAs and the HSGQE.
Any issues with teachers claiming freedom of speech and their right to teach in the manner that they believe is correct and the subject matter that they believe?
We haven't had any come across in the years that I've been on the commission.
Okay.
Generally those, and they certainly could rise to our level, oftentimes those are handled with the districts themselves and reasonable resolutions are sought, and therefore there's no reason to move it to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Husso, when a case comes before you, how long does it normally take from when the act that is being dealt with occurred until the final adjudication?
Through the chair, generally it depends on how fast the complaint is submitted. Once it's submitted to the commission office, Patricia Truman will tend to get on it immediately, start to do investigation. If people respond in a timely manner, we usually have a recommendation within about a 3-month period. Sometimes it does end up just cycling into the 6-month, which would be the next meeting that we normally have scheduled for action. That doesn't mean that the educator is necessarily in the classroom, because the district may have taken action before and we are simply acting on the certificate. And so I would say generally they're within 6 months, but there are ones that end up being several years if people are uncooperative and it takes time for the investigation to be thorough.
Thank you, Mr. Husa. My final question is, where do you rotate your locations, your meetings, or could you give us an example of where you've held your last 3 or 4 meetings?
All of the meetings are held in Anchorage at the State Library underneath in the Post Office Mall.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions for Mr. Husa? Are we pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes.
Close enough, anyhow. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Husa, for serving these years. I'm not sure how long you've done there, been there, but in fact, I'm very unfamiliar with what the commission does. But I was wondering what your views were on things like the exit exams and sometimes the, I wouldn't say the cheating, but the idea that people are trying to get a heads up because it is such a high-stakes test. I was wondering what your thoughts and ideas were on those two aspects.
Overall, I'm not opposed to the concept behind the high school exit exam or the state test, the standards-based assessment test, as I believe that we should be measuring our students. One of the biggest issues I do have is the fact that it has become such a high-stakes test that students feel the need to cheat. Educators sometimes feel the need to unethically help their students because it's viewed as if your students don't do well on that test, therefore you must be an inferior teacher. I do believe we need to be held accountable. I do believe that we should be teaching the state standards. That's what I get paid to do. And therefore, I don't have a problem with the measure. The biggest obstacle I have really with the graduation exam is that it is locked into 3 days per year, and that is the only time that we can give that test. And the reason I expressed that concern is a number of years ago down in the village of Neposkiac, we had two students go through the ice in the fall. They were young, three, four, I think they were, it was a brother, sister, I think they were three and four at the time. For most of freeze-up, my students and I were dismissed at 2 o'clock to go stomp the ice and search for these two bodies, hoping to locate them and bring closure to it. One of the children was found right into state testing time. And the funeral was on one of those days. And I had to look at my students that were in high school and say, I fully understand if you want to go to the funeral, but if you leave early, I can't let you come back and finish the test. And it was just a horrible situation. Luckily, all my students finished in a timely manner and were able to go over to the funeral. But it was that inflexibility of those dates is the biggest issue that I have with the test.
Mr. Chairman, so Mr. Houston, with all due respect, it wasn't you that were not allowing them to come back into the test. It was the test rules that governed the administration of the test that you were bound to that didn't allow them to come back. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And certainly our hearts go out to that family and those students that had to go through that period of time and, for closure and for the mourning that follows that. But I was just kind of wondering, you know, as you look toward the future of education, where do you see us going 5 and 10 years from now? Not so much from the student standpoint, but more from the teacher standpoint, where and the quality of teachers that we're going to be getting out there, that you're going to be looking at their behavior.
I think we continue to draw some of the best and most ethical teachers anywhere in the country to the rural areas of Alaska as well as the urban areas. I think the nature of the job in Alaska brings high-quality people who are looking for something that's outside of the normal situation. I came up here looking for an adventure, chose to stay because I fell in love with the area. I think we tend to bring a lot of people up that have similar experiences. Either they love it or they hate it, but then we also bring in a number of indigenous educators and more teachers who were taught in the public schools in the rural areas that their families have come for a reason and they've chosen to stay, and I think that's a good quality thing. I think we're going to face some big changes with technology. I think it's going to continue to change rapidly, and how instruction is delivered is going to change, and we're going to have to stay on top of it. But I think we have some of the highest quality teachers as anywhere in the nation.
Mr. Houston, thank you very much for your almost 16 years of service out in the lower LKSD. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It appears like we have another very well academically educated candidate. This one is from University of Nebraska,
which
is similar to Fordham, I'm sure. anyway, I'm just wondering, Mr. Husa, are you from Nebraska, or what brought you to Bethel?
I can't tell you what brought me to Bethel, because when I was 25 years old, I decided that I wanted to go back and get my education degree. And at that point, I realized that for some reason, the only place I was going to go teach was Alaska to start. I turned down numerous job offers around the country from people that had contacted me about wanting to go work at their schools and said, no, I'm going to Alaska, and I don't know why. I'd never been here before. There was an internal calling that said that's where I should go. I was fortunate to land a job. As I said, I fell in love with the area, I fell in love with the culture, and have chosen to remain here.
Okay, very good. Well, we're lucky to have you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Husa? In that case, we thank you very much for your opinions and thoughts, and for your past service, and we'll let you go at this point in time. And like I said, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And it appears we do not have Mr. Hebert online, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we. I'm sorry, Jomo. You have some. You're going to speak for him.
Jomo Stewart, co-committee 8 for the Senate Education Committee. I just spoke to his wife. He's in class.
Okay.
So he's a teacher and he's teaching. So I just wanted to pass that along to the committee. I've tried calling his home, the school, the room. He's a teacher and he's teaching.
Okay.
But this would be his third term.
I was going to say he's sourced for a reappointment.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Any complaints about him in the recent past?
Not that I've heard, sir.
Okay. Was he your teacher?
No, sir. I'm from Virginia, sir.
By way of Nebraska.
But don't we all go through Nebraska at least once? Okay, thank you.
Perfect. Okay, in that case, is there any objection to putting forth the three names? If not, without objection, the Senate Education Committee recommends to a joint session of the legislature Mr. Eric B. Fry, Mr. Jeffrey A. Hebert, and Mr. Michael DeHusa to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission. And with that, we'll take a brief at ease while the committee members sign the appropriate form. Signing of this form does not reflect any intent by any of the members of this committee to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. Let's see. Is there any other business to come before us?
Mm-hmm.
No other business to come before us. We have no meeting on Monday, but have a joint meeting on Wednesday. And same time and place, or what are we doing on that?
To be assigned, sir.
So okay. We'll get a bigger room, and we'll make sure everybody gets that information as early as possible. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, how many bills do we have in the committee?
We have zero bills.
Oh, look at us.
Yeah.
We are efficient.
Yeah.
You're the two celebrated committee chairs.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, maybe
you Senator can Meyer. The
committee know what the topic is on Wednesday.
Topic on Wednesday of the joint session is, could you fill us in a little bit on that?
For the record, my name is Murray Richmond, co-committee of the Senate Education Committee. On March 31st, Judge Gleason handed down a third ruling in the Moore case, and in this ruling, she explicitly said that the legislature is responsible for the five districts that are underperforming, and so we've arranged a meeting with the attorney for the plaintiffs, with the state's attorney, with the attorneys, Ms. Michelle from Legal Here, and the administration to discuss what exactly that means for us. In our research so far, no one is really clear, and we figured it would be best to get everybody in the room and try to figure that out.
And that decision was just handed down earlier this week, right?
The 31st of March, yes,
yeah,
sir.
A couple days ago. Okay, very good. Any other questions or comments? If not, we'll Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to comment that after Wednesday, we may be finished as a committee, unless we do get some
House
bills that come over. But we, as you mentioned, we have none
Very good. Well, thank you all for being here this morning, and with that,